Well, we are continuing with the series in the Gospel of Luke. This is drama, and Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's set his face toward Jerusalem. He knows what's ahead, the cross. And he is, in the meantime, though, teaching. He's preparing his disciples, and he is preparing them for the opposition that they're going to face. And now take a look at that picture. I doubt that very many of you would recognize this individual. His name is Radovan Karadzic. And Radovan Karadzic, it was a master at evading detection. He had been indicted for war crimes, and he remained undetected for, I think, 13 years. He had been indicted by the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia on charges of genocide, crimes against humanity in the Bosnian War. History buffs, that was in the 90s. And so he was a fugitive from 1996 until July of 2008. Now, he assumed a different identity. He took on a different name. He grew a long white beard. And amazingly, he lived, in an upscale neighborhood in Belgrade. He had a practice. He had a clinic. He also had a website. He was a New Age specialist at kind of alternative medicine kinds of things, and would give conferences before hundreds of people. And he was a fugitive from this international tribunal. Amazing story. But it did catch up with him. And finally, he was arrested in July of 2008. I think this story really brings to light an idea that Jesus wants to bring out in the passage we're going to look at today, that sooner or later, it all comes to light. You can hide your identity, you can take on a different identity, but sooner or later, it all comes to light. You find out who's who. And we can be confident. All will come to light eventually. If not in this life, in the next. If we evade justice, if we evade giving account for actions in this life, it will come back to haunt us in the next. Now notice what Jesus says in Luke chapter 12. Now, you are free to find this in your phone, look at it in the screen, pick up the Bible that is in front of you, and you can take that Bible home. If you don't have a hard copy of the Bible and you want one, that's our gift to you to take home with you. Now, Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, verse 2, that nothing is covered up that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light. And what you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. So all will come to light eventually. I think Jesus has in mind especially the final judgment, but often it all comes out in this life as well. And so at some point, Jesus says we need to identify ourselves. Who do we belong to? Do we belong to Christ? Or are we going to sit on the fence? Are we going to play it both ways? It will all come to light eventually. Now, Jesus uses four phrases here. He talks about what's hidden will be revealed, what's said in the dark will be heard in the light, what you've whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed in the housetops. You know, we can easily understand this in this day and age. You know, you can be in a gathering where you think you would say something that would never be repeated, but it might end up on social media, so there's a lot of reality behind this. Everything comes to light eventually. And this can be a great encouragement if we genuinely are following Christ, if our eyes are set in serving him, even with the failures, which inevitably we make. That should be an encouragement to us. On the other hand, if we have a double life, if we really have this other alias, if we have this whole secret, you know, that this should give us pause, that it will all come to light. Now, let's look at the background. Jesus is on his journey to Jerusalem. Opposition is rising, and Jesus is encouraging his followers not to cave. There is strong opposition to his ministry. And it comes in the light of, especially on the part of the leaders of his day, the teachers of the law. There was a party called the Pharisees that were very influential. And these are people that are putting pressure on Jesus, and he wants to make sure that his followers don't shrink back or distance themselves from him, come back from following him completely. Now, we're to be on guard against the deceitfulness of Christ's opponents. And in every age, there have been those who have been against Christ and all he stood for. And they've come from all over. They've been communists, they've been clerics, they've been, you know, you name it. But they all have in common that this Jesus of Nazareth and the gospel he preached is just anathema to them. And they will go to any ends to bring him down. Now, this is a fascinating part of the narrative. The scribes and the teachers of the law are looking for a way to trap Jesus. Now, notice what it says. As he, Jesus, went away from there, the scribes and the Pharisees began to press him hard and to provoke him to speak about many things, lying in wait for him to catch him in something he might say. This is the equivalent of the modern press. And so they're looking for a way to bring him down. Now, this was an honor and shame culture. And they wanted to shame Jesus. They wanted him to look really bad. They wanted to bring him in. They had a game going, and they didn't want Jesus spoiling it. Now, we think of the scribes and the Pharisees, oh, those awful people, awful people. They were respected. They were highly respected in that culture, in that high society. And Jesus says, Jesus wants his disciples to be on guard against them. Now, notice here, in the meantime, when so many thousands of the people, we're going back, we start in verses 2 to 4, we're just going backward at the context. So many thousands of the people had gathered together that they were trampling one another. He began to say to his disciples first, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, we know that leaven is, the yeast that makes bread to rise, that permeates everything, and it's used in the Bible to describe the insidious nature of false teaching, of false ideas, and how they can penetrate everything. Jesus was warning his disciples against the leaven of the scribes and the teachers of the law. Now, the reason was that it looked good. It really did. They appeared to be virtuous. Outwardly, they appeared to be the most upstanding citizens, outstanding, and what they said looked good. That's the danger of it. And in our day, all those who are against Christianity, they make their case. The Islamic Republic of Iran, yeah, they believe they're virtuous. North Korean regime. But in our own culture, those who wish to impose ideals that are not scriptural, they're not in accordance with what Jesus taught. Oh, very nice people, nice people. And it looks good. That's the danger in it. It looks good. But it's false. It's deceitful. It's hollow. It's just a shell. There's nothing inside. It's a facade. And so as disciples of Christ, we need to be on our guard against those false ideologies and those false teachings. Because we can be tempted to cave in. Ah, what do the polls say now? Where's the culture going? What's being spoken about in the street? What are they saying in the media? Ah, I'm going to kind of hold back from my own convictions. That's not where we want to go, brothers and sisters. And Jesus said, be on your guard against the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, we have three groups in this passage, and we're not to be afraid of Christ's opponents, but so we have three groups of people. Just want to mention this. We have this group, let's call them the elites of their day, the cultural shapers of their day. We have the multitudes, and they're trampling each other, it says in this passage. I mean, you know, this is a big show. You know, who's going to win this? Is it going to be the teachers of the law? Is it going to be Jesus? And Jesus is totally up to the challenge. I get excited. I said, Jesus is not holding back. He's throwing it back at them. And there are these crowds that are mobbing Jesus, and they're undecided. Which way are they going to fall? Some of them are going to end up with Jesus. They're not there yet. And some of them are going to say, you know, I think it's safer with the scribes and Pharisees. Hey, I'm gonna play it safe. And then you have the disciples. And they were not always the sharpest knife in the drawer, They got it wrong a lot of times. They were stumbling, sometimes great moments of, allegiance and loyalty, sometimes holding back. But they were following Jesus, and we can identify with that, many of us. Do you know what? We're really not, as disciples, we're really not better than anybody else. There's one thing that's made the difference. We've heard the voice of Jesus of Nazareth. He's captivated us, and our lives are never going to be the same. And so, yes, we may be stumbling sometimes, but our sights are set in a different direction. And the thing is, let's just be confident in identifying with Christ. We're with him. Let's not worry about the crowd. Let's stay with Jesus and follow him wholeheartedly. We're not to be afraid of Christ's opponents. They're there. We're not gonna be able to be friends of everybody. Okay, a lot of you are like me. I just love it. Everyone thinks Tim's great. You know, he's okay. I don't have to be rich. I don't have to be famous. Just everyone kind of thinks I'm okay. Any of you identify with that? You know what? It's going to be pretty difficult, really, to live that way. Certainly, if we want to be faithful to Jesus, let's just get over it. And if we want to be faithful to Jesus, not everyone's going to like us, and that's okay. Jesus is on our side. We have his presence with us. So there's the three groups. These ardent opponents of Jesus, we have the multitudes, and then we have the disciples. So we're not to be afraid of Christ's opponents. Look at what he says. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body, and after that have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Some solemn words. And if there's anybody that, the whole thing is kind of a big joke, something to laugh about Christianity, there are some serious words here. Men and women can ultimately, they can take our life. That happens in the world today. There are Christians who pay for their faith with their life. Yeah, people can talk bad about you, in the schoolroom, in the office, kind of this buzz behind your back or to your face. Yeah, that can happen. They can't take away from you that which is most precious, that part of you that is going to survive this life. And after you are buried, that part of you continues on. And that part of you is secure. If you're in Jesus, as you took communion this morning, you say, yeah, Jesus paid for my sins with his blood. If that's you, that goes on and you're safe. Nobody can take that from you. On the other hand, if you're going it on your own, if you're not trusting Jesus, if you're not following him, you do not have a good prospect. And let's be honest about that. Jesus talked about hell. There is a destiny for those who do not know him, have not received his grace. And it's, whatever it is, it's something to be avoided at all costs. So we fear this great and awesome God who offers forgiveness and eternal life to us, but he also is a judge. He has to run this world. He's going to have a just government. His justice will be absolutely precise. He can't be intimidated. He can't be influenced. He can't be bribed. And we have to give account to him. I want Jesus as my defense attorney. And he is. He is our defense attorney now. So we're not to be afraid of those who kill the body but can't kill the soul. But we're to trust in the care of our Heavenly Father. We're to trust in the care of our Heavenly Father. The judge becomes our Father in Jesus. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies? And not one of them is forgotten before God. God, why even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. Now, there's something very interesting. Here Jesus says 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies. Jesus loved to talk about birds. They were a source of illustration. Another place he says that 2 sparrows are sold for 1 penny. So, you know, the commentators have figured this out. This was a deal. If you bought 2 sparrows, you got 1 more thrown in for the bargain. We'll give that one to you free. You know, it was a great deal. I don't know if you followed that. Okay, so these birds that really have practically no value. And by the way, I don't know, did they eat them? I don't know. You know, all I know is that Jesus said these creatures are of value to your Heavenly Father. As Carolyn and I were out in front enjoying, you know, some summer weather, the few months that we have it, having some coffee outside, and I was looking at the lawn, that robin. My Heavenly Father knows that robin, that knew the robin when it hatched out of the egg. Knew that robin as it's gone through life and will know it when it breathes its final breath. My Father knows all about me, and he knows all about you. Jesus said, the hairs on your head are all numbered. Your Father knows more about you than any MRI or CAT scan can reveal, or blood test. He knows if you go back to an empty home. Or he knows if you go back to a home that's, you wish it were quieter, but not empty enough. He knows, you know, your son or daughter, your parent, the friendship that's gone sour. He knows all about that. And he cares. The world is not always a friendly place, but in Jesus, you have a Heavenly Father that cares infinitely for you about every detail of your life. So we're to identify with Jesus openly. Here I am. I'll stand with him. May not be the most popular thing to do, but I'll identify with Jesus openly. Luke 12:8, I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man also will acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. So, we're to confess Christ before all people, knowing, again, that all will come to light eventually. There is an element of faith that just can't be kept secret all the time. At some point, you know, we confess with our mouth. Genuine faith expresses itself. And we acknowledge Jesus. Maybe not perfectly, but we acknowledge him before men. Jesus becomes our lawyer, not only in eternity, but right now. He's our defender. He's on our side. On the other hand, those who deny him, who do not confess him before men, will be denied before the angels of God. You see, again, as Jesus was speaking these words, the jury was still out for the multitudes. Which side were they going to land on? The side of the scribes or the side of Jesus? Will they choose to trust and follow Jesus, or will they shrink back from that? Will they follow him though it cost them everything? Or will they save their lives at any cost? So, if you do not belong to Jesus, at the final judgment, you'll stand guilty of high treason against the ruler of the universe. A court beyond the International Court of Justice, beyond which there is no appeal. Now, I want to move on to another verse, spend a little bit of time here, and everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Now, this verse has troubled many Christians. And maybe there's a very sensitive person out there, wow, you know, maybe I've committed this sin, and wow, that's scary. This verse is not for you. I think we're all agreed. If you're worried about it, this verse is not, don't worry about it. Remember the historical setting. We have Jesus doing works that no one else in the history of the world has ever done. There's no way that he could be excused, just a great magician. You know, the teachers of the law, that wasn't an option. There was something supernatural about what he did. So their only option was to say it was diabolical. It was of Satan. That was a pretty serious thing to do. I'm not sure that sin could be committed today. This was a persistent, determined denial of the testimony of the Spirit of God to Jesus as Messiah and Son of God. So I don't know that it could even be committed today. But let me just throw this out. There's someone in the hearing of my voice. You've known all of this. What it is to be a part of a church? You've heard the testimonies of Teen Challenge. You've been there when the atmosphere was electric, Spirit of God, they said it was moving. You've known it all, and yet you're ready to call the whole thing the biggest sham ever perpetrated in the human race. That would be a serious thing. Don't go there. If there are anyone that... Don't go there. This isn't a fraud. This isn't a fraud. This is for real. So, again, notice the contrast. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. And that was the case of Simon Peter, who was within the hearing of Jesus at this time. Simon Peter, one of Jesus' inner circle, who denied Jesus, denied knowing him, not once, but three times. But you know what? He was forgiven. He was restored. He was restored to a place of service. So I want to encourage those of us today who we come and may even come to the communion service and say, wow, you know, do I even take it? We've failed the Lord. You've messed up. Let me encourage you. Everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. So there's forgiveness. There's forgiveness for sin and for failure. For those who don't persist in rejecting the gospel but receive the grace of God in Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. There are some of you that zero in on the tough passages, and those verses of forgiveness and assurance and comfort, you know, oh, that's not for me. Yeah, let me encourage you. They're for you. They're for you. There's forgiveness. And finally, we're to count on the aid of the Holy Spirit. We're to count on the aid of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. We're to count on the aid of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so we're going to identify ourselves as Christians. Okay? I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. I'm one of those people that reads the Bible, you know, men's ministries. I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those gals. You know, we're just going to... You know, we're not going to flaunt it, but we're going to be there. We're not going to try to distance ourselves from Christian people or live one life there and another life here on Sunday morning. We're going to be Christians. It's a great promise, great promise. We have the promise of the Holy Spirit that will be with us. Now, you'll probably not be before a court to give defense of your faith. But, you know, you're going to be in that family gathering, and you know who's who. We're not all on the same page. Question comes up. Conversation turns a certain direction. What do? You don't want to be obnoxious. You don't want to be mean-spirited, but you want to be true to who you are. What do you say? You know, you're not alone in that conversation. You have the Holy Spirit with you. Someone asks a question, you know, where did Cain get his wife? You know, those questions come up. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to have a PhD or a seminary degree. You know, usually the best policy, if you don't know, well, certainly if you don't know the answer, I don't know. I'll ask somebody that knows more than I do, you know? That's a fair answer, right? But here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is there with you. Relax. Be who you are, but just trust the Holy Spirit to give you the words. And he helps you to be winsome and yet, you know, to cut it straight. We have 24/7 the Holy Spirit with us. And let me just say this. I think we should not neglect the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He is the third member of the Trinity. Jesus spoke a lot about him, and we really need him day to day and hour to hour. And he's there with us, and he will take his word, and he will bring it to mind, and he will help us. So, in closing, so if there's anyone who's just casual about spiritual matters, you know, the whole thing is just, you know, it's Sunday morning, or it's, you know, not a big deal. It is a big deal. There's some serious words in this passage. Take Jesus seriously. There is a heaven, there is a hell, there is a judgment. So don't treat it lightly. To the very sensitive soul that, you know, you're always on the edge of depression, and let me say, there is tons of encouragement for you from the lips of Jesus. You don't have to have it all together. The 12 did not have it all together. But they hung there with Jesus. Just hang tight. Grab hold of him. You have your spirit. He's with you. Just don't give up. Just don't give up. For those of you who like to be everybody's friend, I get that. I totally get that. Just be prepared for the fact that sooner or later, you're going to cross someone's path. You won't agree with them. They won't agree with you. You know, we can live with that. We can live with that. And we have our Heavenly Father that's with us. And if by chance there's someone that you want to face your judge someday and you'll go in your own merits, you think you've done pretty well, that's a bad plan. None of us have done it well enough to stand before God on our own merits. We need someone to defend us. And we celebrated that this morning, the blood of the covenant, the body that was broken for us. Jesus is all sufficient. Jesus lived a life, every moment of his life, he pleased God. He did it all. The scribes and Pharisees caught up with him. They got him killed, but God turned that for our salvation. The blood of the covenant is our basis for forgiveness. And that's a good plan. Trust Jesus. He never for a moment was hypocritical. He was true. He was true. And he is true to his word that his blood will pay for your sins. Thank you, Father. Father, it's getting more difficult as the years go by. We're going against the current. Just help us to stand true. Help us not to shrink back, not to cave, not to cringe, just to be true to you. Thank you, Father, for the gift of your Spirit. Thank you for the gift of your Son and for the forgiveness we have in him. In his name.